Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Yeah, I think we'll find out more today at practice and see how that goes, and then just go from there. You never want a player of his caliber on your lineup. One time out west, we were in games 19, 20, and 21, and you want to be smart with your players and making sure that you don't put them in a situation that the injury can become longer. Those are constant conversations between our medical team, our trainers, and our coaching staff, and I think we'll find out more here today.
Here's Buffalo Sabres assistant head coach Seth Appert joined Jeremy and Joe earlier this morning, giving a little bit of an update on Tage Thompson. Well, we got more of an update, as he said there right at the outset, that, well, we'll learn more later today. We have. All Sabres reporters are tweeting out, including our own Paul Hamilton. Tage Thompson is on the ice this morning for practice. Jordan Greenway, though, still absent and still on IR. Not too surprising for him, but it'd be really, really nice, Josh, to get Tage Thompson back. Real quick, though, I do want to mention this because we were talking about UB football, and I wanted to mention UB basketball as well. The women are in action tonight at 6 against Niagara. They are undefeated, 5-0. Becky Burke in her third year, taking the team from 12-16 her first year, 19-14 last year, 5-0 this year. And then I'm going to say this sort of as a joke, but I do mean it. Really good by UB men getting a win last night against North Carolina A&T. They were 2.5-point favorites at home, which tells you how close that game was. They ultimately get a 1-point win. With that, they are 4-3 to start this year, thus matching their win total from last year. I know it's not a lot, but it does mean something. You won 4 games last year for the men's program to now win 4 before you've even started MAC conference play, and to be getting really, really good play out of a number of your young guys, namely Ryan Sable, who's averaging, I think, 18 points per game, 48% from 3. You've got Ben Michaels, a freshman from Canada, in double-digit scoring as well. He's also a 40% three-point shooter. You're getting good minutes, good production out of some of your young guys. So hopefully both George Halkovich and we already kind of are seeing Becky Burke potentially getting those UB basketball programs back to relevancy like they were before 2020, those late 20-teens. They were a lot of fun. But to the Tage Thompson point, Josh, them going 4-1 without him, to me, is still maybe the most impressive thing. Yes, you're beating teams like Anaheim and San Jose. I get it. But I even saw a tweet this morning. San Jose, since Macklin Celebrini has been back, they've been like 7-5-1.
Oh, yeah.
So they've not necessarily been a bad team once he's been back.
Right. And the thing is, too, is you can finally see this team not Like, they're not making excuses anymore,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, it's not, oh, well, our number one guy's down. Well, I guess we don't have to show up anymore. Mm-hmm. No, it's they're actually going out there and they're playing through stuff like that. It's not debilitating to them anymore. And I think it's partially it's a large part due to what Lindy Ruff has done with the team so far, I think. Mm-hmm. It's also a big part, I think, in what guys like Jason Zucker, Ryan McLeod, and even Sam Lafferty and Abbe Kubel have brought to the team in terms of just that outside perspective of and Bo Byram too, because yeah, sure, Byram came in last year, but he came in towards the end of the year. It was kind of just a falling, like a move that fell flat eventually.
Yeah,
but it's that different perspective of these guys are coming from proven winners, or they're younger and they want to make their own mark, like Ryan McLeod. He hasn't really had a chance to make his own mark in the NHL because he's been behind McDavid, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, yeah. Leon Draisaitl, all those guys. So now you have all these players coming in and they're actually going out there and they're winning hockey games through this resiliency. And that was one of the things Seth Appert talked about today was with Jeremy and Joe, was the resiliency of being able to win games 1-0, come back in games and win it in overtime, come back in games and win it in regulation with shorthanded goals.
Yeah.
Like those things are things we have not seen the Sabres do consistently over the last few years, and that's been a large part of their problem. But now you're seeing them on a three-game winning streak, winning 7 of their last 9, and having 7 of their next 8 games at home. That's a massive thing. Like, that's really big, especially around this time of the year, too, because this is the time of year where you start to see teams separate. I mean, we've been talking about the stat. I think Paul initially brought it up. Maybe it was Joe. One of them initially brought it up, the whole, you know, 80% of teams in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving make the playoffs.
Brayton, I think, had the stat last week, which was like it's now up to like 77.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, so still, regardless, you're at the point right now. I think they're actually in a wild card spot right now after the results of last night.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you're in a playoff spot right now. That's something that you haven't been able to see consistently over the past few years in terms of, you know, having more points than you have games played and consistently staying in the race.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's something that is completely different that we haven't seen the Sabres team do in a long time, and it's not feeling like it's going to slow down. This is going to be a tough test over the next few games because they are going to have some of the better teams in the NHL coming to town.
Yep.
But still, they've beaten the Rangers 6-1. Like to be fair, the Rangers have.
The Rangers are actually
falling apart a little bit. But at the time, the Rangers were still one of the top teams in the league, and they were still performing very well. But I think honestly, that 6-1 win has kind of sent them into a bit of a spiral.
Because had fun.
No, I mean, Elliot.
You also seen though a team like Florida, who you've been able to split with early in the season, they are not having a good time. They lost again last night to Washington, I believe 4-1, which now is 6 of their last 7 games they've lost.
Wow.
And now I think they are on a 4-game losing streak, something like that.
They're still hanging out at 25 points, too.
I will ask you, though, and I'm only saying this because I've seen a lot on social media, how much have you been thinking about the 2018-19 season and that 10-game win streak?
Not at all.
You haven't at all?
Nope. I have because I've been seeing, you know, hey, on this day they won the 7th game or the 6th game. Like,
totally
I
totally have been thinking about it.
I haven't been thinking about it at all.
Because I totally have.
This is those games, well, yes, it was an incredible time. I mean, I remember them winning the 8th game. That was the one where when they won that, they went to the first place in the entire league.
Mm-hmm.
And I still remember screenshotting that, posting it to Twitter, posting on literally every bit of social media saying, the Sabres are back, here they are, Jack Eichel and Sam Reinhardt are going to win a Stanley Cup.
Get used to it.
We all thought that they were going to split the Conn Smythe in half and give it to Eichel and Reinhardt, and, you know, everything was going to be great. But this team is not like that team. I mean, you look at that season and that win streak.
Do you want the numbers? I have the numbers.
I was about to actually bring up the schedule because that was like, you know, we were all riding high on that team because they were winning 10. They won 10 games in a row.
Of those 10 games, though, do you know how many of them went in either into overtime or shootout?
I'm looking at it right now.
They're like 5?
6? 7.
Seven
of
so
them.
So good. And then,
including the last 3.
And then the other ones that aren't in an overtime or shootout are a 2-1 win, a 3-2 win, a 5-2 win. Like, only one game was by more than one goal.
Mm-hmm. It was Philadelphia, and then
Everything else was a one-goal win.
It was a one-goal game.
Either in a shootout or overtime, or they squeak it out in regulation.
Yeah.
And then you go on a five-game losing streak right after that. Gotta love it. But
although,
I don't,
to me and Paul's point, you picked up two loser points in the middle of that five-game losing streak. Well, you did have two overtime losses.
Yeah, yeah. And even at the end of that, you were 17-9-4 mm-hmm. at the start of December. Man, that team. What a disappointment.
But the reason I do bring it up.
Well,
though,
now I'm thinking about it. But like I haven't been thinking about it at all during this whole span, because this team, the way they're winning games and the way they're even playing games in losses, aside from that Philadelphia game last Saturday, well, mm-hmm. abysmal, or two Saturdays ago, abysmal. But when they're losing games, it's close wins or it's close losses. Mm-hmm. It's not like the only times they've really been blown out were the first two games of the year. The one game against Columbus, the game against Montreal, and the game against Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's five of your nine losses.
Yeah.
But they haven't been as frequent. I mean, sure, the Montreal one's a little fluky. It was 7-5. And the Philly one was bad. It was 5-2. But before that, you have a 2-1 loss to Detroit, where you kind of just got goalied a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A 4-3 loss against the Islanders, where the Islanders played their boring style of hockey and, you know, they were just annoying. And a 5-2 loss to the Panthers, which that was a fully healthy Panthers team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that but it feels different in terms of the way that they're winning these games and the way that they're playing these games is it's a safe style of hockey. But it's also creating offense at the same time. It's this, you almost have like a safety net every time they get the puck, because you're either having your defensive line out there with your offensive defenseman, or you're having your defensive defenseman out there with your offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's great about the way this lineup has been built. And even in the last five games that Tage Thompson has been out, you're 4-1. So having Tage come back and be fully healthy, hopefully, is just another boost. I mean, That's the whole thing, is why I'm okay with them not rushing him back, is you've been successful. Mm-hmm. The only time you weren't successful was just in a very rough game where your goalie gets just blown out. I mean, then he gets sent down to Rochester. So,
and he's been doing well there.
And he's been doing good, yeah.
So you got to feel happy about that.
I will tell you, though. To go back to the original point, I have not thought about that winning streak because of the way they're playing this style of hockey.
I have been thinking about it, mainly only due to the fact of, on November 27th, I know today's the 26th, so you know, mm-hmm. we can, I guess, do this more tomorrow when they do play Minnesota. But on November 27th, I was at that game, the San Jose game. That's the overtime win.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that they lined up that easily. Huh.
And at that point, they're at 36 points. If the Sabres were to beat Minnesota tomorrow, they'd be at 25. I agree with you. I think they are playing much better hockey, and I'm being completely honest here, the Tage Thompson injury, almost to my psyche, has been a positive, because I've seen this team, like you said, go 4-1 in this window and play really, really well and eke out wins, sweep the California trip. They're putting together performances as well. Josh, since November 5th, they've only lost twice. We're almost in December.
Yeah.
They've lost twice. The Montreal game, in which, honestly, if Levi played that instead of Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, maybe it's a little bit different because goaltending was basically non-existent there.
Yeah.
But we knew Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, we found out later that day, was hurt.
Yeah.
And that's why he was ultimately pulled. So maybe if Levi plays that game, maybe they win that. The Philly game was, I think, bad all around.
It was atrocious.
But to both of those points, though, they bounce back after those losses. We've talked to Paul and mentioned that Lindy Ruff has brought that up of, you can't string together losses, though. You can lose a game, but you got to bite it.
And the only time, they've only had two three-game losing streaks so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
The one in the beginning of the season where arguably you should have won the third one because it was that stupid game against LA, the home opener.
Where you got totally goalied,
Yep. And then the other one, again, we were just talking about it. Florida, New York, Detroit. In two of those games, you got goalied. In the other game, it was Florida was fully healthy and wanted to get revenge for what you did to him a couple
And they were
weeks
trying
before.
To fix their start to the season
right,
as well.
Exactly. So it's, I'm not trying to sit here and create excuses, because I was just talking about how, oh, they haven't been creating excuses this season. They've been just going out there and winning games. But at the same time, looking at the first month of the season is often so hard to do because it's under such a microscope. Now that you're almost into December, you're almost in 3 months into the season, you can really see the way that they're trying to play and the way that they are playing and what that result or what that style gives you on the results.
Mm-hmm.
You look past the last three-game losing streak, like you just said. That was their first win off that losing streak was November 5th against the Senators. And that's been the way they've played this whole month has been this dominating style of play where it's you're not creating a lot of offense most nights, but you're creating a safe amount of offense and a safe amount of...
And also remember, like during this month is when they sort of figured out the power play.
Yeah, right.
And they started scoring regularly on that. I will also say too, and this has been brought up, but you know, usually when we bring it up, we talk about how they started 0-3.
Right.
In reality, this team started 1-4-1. Yeah. They were in a tough spot. And for them to grab that and go, and ultimately, as you've seen in November, really put together a strong run here to go above 500, even if you want to do the whole fun style of, well, they also still have that overtime loss that still counts,
right.
They'd be 11-10. They're finally above 500, and they are playing well. Lukanen is healthy. Hopefully now with Tage Thompson back at practice, he is healthy. We did see last night from Minnesota, you're going to have to deal with Kirill Kaprizov. He played like 22 minutes last night. Yeah. He's healthy. He's ready to go.
He's back.
But it's at home, and I feel good about where they're going to be at Wednesday and Friday against Vancouver. You've put together a really good product that you can see on television. I hope that means then during this holiday week of Thanksgiving Eve and Black Friday, that barn is full. And that they do continue to put up good performances. Because I'm with you. From what I've seen this year, they have put together strong performances. My fear is that, yeah, the Minnesota game is just a dud. That they win three straight, they lose to Minnesota, and they fall out of that playoff spot. That's been a big thing just for me on social media, seeing it, of a lot of people talking about just being there at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's 75 to 77% making the playoffs. And then when we look at that 2018-19 team, I agree with you. Of course, it's an entirely different team. That's like 6 years ago. But they were at this point, or well, tomorrow, 36 points, and they failed to make the playoffs. The Sabres at most tomorrow could be at 25.
That's why they say 80% of the teams.
Yes. It's just incredibly frustrating that you somehow were one of them. But to me, that is a big difference. It's an 11-point difference.
Right. But also,
East is so close. I mean, that's the thing, too.
The East
you've played so well.
Yeah.
And yet, because you haven't played in 2 days, you're now in the second wild card spot.
Right.
But you were third in the East not that long ago.
Think about it, though. This is what we were talking about this with Paul yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You have those points on Tampa.
Yes. Yes.
You theoretically, you can get those points back because you have less games played than them. Obviously, they're not given, but you have that time to make that up. Which is what we saw them have a couple years ago when they got very close. They even had it a little bit last year. But if you want to break this down, looking at this last month of Sabres hockey, so you go to the win against Ottawa to now, right? November 5th to now. It was 3 in a row, 1 loss, 1 win, 1 loss, 3 in a row. Okay?
Yep.
Shrink that down. The last 4 games, you're 3-1. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
If you play at that pace... You can't roughly break down 4 games into an 82-game season, but it's about
correct. Yep.
You know, it's about 20 if you cut it in half.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 3-1 every 4 games, that should get you to the playoffs.
Yeah, it should get you to the playoffs. Absolutely.
So, I'm not sitting here saying that's what they should do, but we've seen that over the past month now. They win 3, they lose 1. They win 1, they lose 1, they win 2 more. Like, they're still on that path of winning every 4 games, you're 3-1. It's not impossible to say that they would continue that same stretch.
No, I think especially you're getting great numbers out of your goaltenders. Reimer only 1 game. Ulukanen, though,
sure.
you've now had quite a big sample size of him going back to last year into this year. He's a good goaltender. Your defenseman, especially on the offensive side, Owen Power is second. Bowen Byram is third in terms of even strength points for defensemen.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson was on a heater before he gets hurt.
Yeah.
And you've been able to win games without him. You've been able to kind of figure out what's going on. You can also argue to this point, Jack Quinn is starting to look better. He is starting to somewhat figure it out. He hasn't scored against a goalie yet, but he's figuring it out.
The other guy that's a little... It's kind of missing right now, Peterka has not scored since the Montreal game, which is... not great, but you know, again, it's not like the other parts of the team haven't stepped up around them.
Correct.
Because
you brought up Zucker a lot.
Right. Zucker has been one of the biggest pieces to this team's success so far this season, and same with a guy like Ryan McLeod. I really wonder what that Philadelphia game would look like if Jordan Greenway's there. I don't know if he makes that much of a difference, but he is part of that defensive and offense. Like that line of Greenway, Zucker, and McLeod is, in my eyes, one of the most underrated lines in hockey because they are balanced enough to have both great offensive and defensive abilities. Like looking at them just in what they've done so far this year, if Greenway was healthy, this would be a completely different conversation. I don't know if it's really that bad right now, obviously, but it's just Greenway being in the lineup too has honestly been something that's very, very beneficial for this team so far this year. And I think that's just because of the way that Don Granato wanted to use Greenway compared to how Lindy Ruff understands to use Greenway. Because Greenway was originally kind of trying to be used as an offensive forward where he can have offensive output, but he's more of a forechecker. He's more of a get control of the puck and get it to someone that can actually put up the offense. Mm-hmm. And if he scores a goal, cool. Great. But it probably won't be your typical, like, you know, goal scorer's goal. It'll be a scrappy net front presence type of goal.
Yeah.
Which is what he brings. But it's something the team doesn't really have without him in the lineup.
No, that's right. That's right.
Other than Zucker, actually, because Zucker is kind of that as well. By the way, did you see the video of him after the Anaheim game, I think it was?
Chirping at fans. It's so much fun.
It's just like, that's so electric. Like, banging the glass at a fan because...
Because he's chirping at you the whole time?
Just great.
Oh, it's so good. But he's brought a good energy. I know Paul has brought up a lot that Yuri Kulik sits with him on the bench after every shift, and they go over it. And Paul's spot on.
Yeah.
There's really not many better players to learn from than Zucker, especially with how Kulik wants to play. He's also getting minutes at center.
Well, and
playing,
also
playing well there.
Look at how much Lindy Ruff is trusting Yuri Kulik in terms of putting him out there in overtime, putting him out there just at center while your top center is out of the lineup. Not on the top line, obviously, but still in an important role as a guy that's only got 10 NHL games. I mean, Yuri Kulik has, for what he's done so far, like what he's been asked to do, he's done amazing.
Yep. Now there is a good chance him or Roseanne is going to get sent down when Thompson comes back healthy.
I think it'll be Roseanne, personally.
You think they'll keep Kulik up?
Yeah, I think so, just because of what he's shown. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know what that means for the lineup. Because, I mean, it's not a bad problem, obviously, but the problem is you then have too many centers. You have to shift someone back to wing.
Yeah. Sabres lines at practice today. Top line, Paterka, Thompson, Tuck. Second line, Benson, Cousins, Krebs. Third line, Zucker, McLeod, and then Kulik and Quinn switching in and out. And then for the fourth line, Malenstein, Roseanne, Lafferty, and Nicholas Abbe-Cabell switching out there.
Hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, who is the center on the fourth line?
Lafferty. I'm sorry, Malenstein and Roseanne are switching out. Then it's Lafferty and Nicholas Abbe-Cabell.
At center, though. So
Lafferty.
I mean, it's interesting to see that Kulik didn't go on that fourth line. But I guess Lafferty is like a true center. He's not really a winger also. So I could live with it if he goes back to wing, but I have liked what he's done at center so far. Like, if it's between him staying up or going down, then put him on the wing. Because he should stay up in the NHL. He's earned a spot.
I think so.
I
think it does mean a lot. That overtime goal was fantastic.
Oh,
right off the rebound. Perfect shot.
Way to just be there. You know, like that. Just the awareness to be there. Because he's coming off the bench when that happens, too.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it just takes seeing it go in the net. I've talked about that with Dylan Cousins and Jack Quinn. Absolutely should be thrown on that list as well. 803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about the Sabres? As they will not be in action again until Wednesday when they take on Minnesota, but then they also get Vancouver at home on Friday for Black Friday. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Instant pressure by the Sabres on 71. This will be tipped out. Alex Tuck, he's got two shorties. He's got a partial breakaway. Shorthanded Alex Tuck with a shot. Scores! Another shorthanded goal by Alex Tuck. Three on the season, and it's a 3-2 Buffalo Sabres lead. Wow.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Before he said it, too, I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, Alex Tuck has had a lot of shorthanded goals. Three on the season. He's doing well. He's on, a seven-game point streak as well.
Yeah. He's, surprisingly, he's the one that's kind of turned on the most since Tage Thompson has been out.
Yeah, you could argue some of them are more empty calorie points, kind of like the second assist sort of deal.
Right.
But then also it's but he's got a 7-point streak. At certain points, it's like, all right,
he's one of the main guys that I thought was going to have issues that Thompson was out. But him and McLeod have worked together nicely, whether it's even strength or penalty kill. Those two have been together both ways. And they've looked great.
One thing we didn't touch there on the last segment was the potential trade rumors going on with the New York Rangers, a team you mentioned the Sabres beat them pretty handedly. They got to have Igor Shesterkin basically boot off the ice, or at least based off Twitter's reactions, they were not a huge fan of his. But how do you feel about two of the names that have really been thrown around there, Jacob Trouba and Chris Kreider?
I want nothing to do with Jacob Trouba.
Okay.
Glad
we're kind of on the same page. I actually wouldn't be against the Sabres adding a defenseman, but Trouba just, no.
There's a small part of me that wouldn't mind it, but I know that it would cost way too much to get a guy like Jacob Trouba here. And mainly, okay, so this brings me all back to the days of the Eichel trade rumors and hypothetical mock trades and everything, the Rangers being the main team that was in on that. And all the Rangers fans saying, well, this fourth round prospect, he's untouchable. I wouldn't trade Eichel for him.
What a time to be alive. Everything was both too expensive and way too cheap.
No,
all at the same time.
Braden Schneider? No, you can't trade him for Jack Eichel. He's way too good of a prospect. Okay. Shoes on the other foot now. NYR Louie on Twitter. I'm going to call him out for this because this is egregious.
I saw this.
This is bad. So his first mock that he put out yesterday for a Chris Kreider trade. This trade just involves Chris Kreider. The Sabres would receive Chris Kreider, Ryan Lindgren, Brennan Othman, and a 2026 third round pick for just a couple guys on the team. JJ Paterka and Bowen Byram. Ha! Are you... And he says, who says no? Every single comment there's some expletives in here I can't say, but every single comment. Oh, and there's this one person that chimes in. I'd rather have Tuck. At least he has an edge in his game.
Oh, boy. I think that...
In what world?
You know what, though? To this point, though, and this is something I've felt a while, your favorite team is your favorite team. Most people don't pay attention to other teams.
Right. Oh, and
most people
this
do
other
not
one.
Pay attention to other
I'm
teams.
Not, I'm not a big fan of Byram, but give me Paterka all day. Really, you don't say...
But that's what I'm saying. Most people, there are the few, don't get me wrong, but there are a lot of people that don't look around the rest of their leagues
pay attention to other teams. There's a person in this comments that says, I'd like to keep Othman. This Brennan Othman, I'm pretty sure was drafted 5 years ago.
But here, perfect example with the Sabres. We all love the Ryan McLeod trade now, but it was close to a 50-50 split on the day of.
That's fair. Because yep, you're right.
You're trading Matthew Savoy?
Yeah.
But we compared him to Danny Briere.
Right.
I mean, I think that's for a lot of teams, especially in prospect-based sports like baseball and hockey, is that you will get people that have envisioned what a player can be and cannot get off that. For a lot of people, and let's just go to the Sabres here, they looked at Matthew Savoy, but in 2 or 3 years, he will be Danny Briere. Right. Or he will be Braden Point.
Yeah.
And instead, he is a guy who is still in the AHL and cannot get on an Edmonton Oilers team that is desperate for depth scoring. Ryan McLeod is a pretty solid second to third line center.
Yep. And he gives you,
in moments, can give you a really good offensive output. And yeah, he's fast and into one of the top percentiles of speed. And he kind of just works. He's an NHL player.
At the very least, he is depth scoring. At the very least.
Yeah.
Looking at this Brennan Hoffman, he was drafted in 2021, 16th overall. Has played 3 games for the Rangers, yet to record an NHL point. Played all of last year, essentially, in the AHL, and has played all of this. He's only played 3 games, actually, so he might have had some injury problems here this year in the AHL.
Mm-hmm.
But he has 5 points in 3 games. Maybe he's not that bad, but like, for J.J. as part of a deal for J.J. Paterka and Bowen Byram. You're giving the Sabres Chris Kreider, Ryan Lindgren, a third next year,
mm-hmm,
and some prospect that has no NHL experience. Sure, cool.
How do you feel about, though, like them going in for something like this?
I mean,
someone like a Chris Kreider.
For them, like, talking about doing this trade, it does make sense simply because of the fact that they're kind of in limbo right now, and you kind of have to maybe switch something up.
They've been an older team for a long time. A lot of their key guys have been older for, mm-hmm, a long time. Kreider, yeah, though, 19 games played this year, 9 goals. He is injured, though, currently.
Yes, but Kreider, I think, is a guy that Kreider would be a much better get than Trouba just because of the fact you know what Kreider can do. Mm-hmm. Trouba has been kind of one of the dirtier players in the NHL for the past, like, 5 years.
Yeah, does not have a great
track record. And not to say, I'm not saying Dahlin is dirty, but Dahlin does have a penalty problem. You add someone else to that,
mm-hmm,
you're only encouraging him. No, I'm just kidding.
Encouraging.
But I look at a guy like Chris Kreider, and while, yes, it would be great to go get a guy like that,
mm-hmm,
he would also cost way too much. Just thinking back to the whole Eichel trade days, when that was going on, the reports that came out of what Drury wanted from the Sabres and what he was willing to give in return, there was never a deal there. There was, mm-hmm, never anything that was going to work out there because of the fact of the Rangers don't want to give up anything, essentially.
Yeah, they want to quote-unquote win every trade.
Right, and you can't do that in the NHL. You have to sometimes take your losses.
I don't think you can do that in almost any sport.
Well, right. But at the same time, good GMs, and I'm not saying Chris Drury's not a good GM, but good GMs can identify the players in a trade that the other GM doesn't think is good,
mm-hmm,
right? Like, think about the Ryan McLeod trade.
Yeah.
Edmonton probably thinks they had a steal because it's Matthew Savoy. But the Sabres got exactly what they needed and more from Ryan McLeod.
So but it does sound like some of these teams, though, they never want to have that moment in the media of, oh, man, they got fleeced here. What is going on?
Right,
they
right.
never want to have that feeling and of they show up
yeah.
Monday morning and the media is asking them questions of, what the hell?
Yeah,
like, they what never are you want doing? To have that.
Right.
Where, yeah, for the Sabres, really, up until the season started, it was constantly this feeling of, cool, they've added Ryan McLeod, which is fair.
Many,
if not all of us, wanted to add another top six forward. Ryan McLeod did not fill that void by any means.
But he has to this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he certainly has done what he needed to do. But I just look at, you know, this is where you can kind of break teams apart in the NHL in terms of tiers. You look at the teams that are great and have been for a while. You look at the teams that are on the rise. You look at the teams that have just the prestigious history, like the New York Rangers. Teams like that don't make trades where they can look bad. They don't make trades where they have the potential to be the loser.
Yeah, they play it safe.
Or viewed as the loser. They try to play it safe, but then that leads to where the Rangers are now, where they're running out of cap space, they are getting older, and they're not getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have Artemi Panarin, Mika Zibanejad, Chris Kreider. Those three right there, I mean, Panarin alone makes up $11.6 million of your cap space. And I'm not saying Panarin's not a good player.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're talking about trading Chris Kreider,
I'm looking at his underlying numbers here. It's just everything is in the blue. Everything.
Yeah. What
outside of first assists and penalties? And he has no assists this year. He's 9 goals.
And I get it. He's injured right now, so he's not really helping you. But who do you think you're going to get in return that can help you? No team is going to give up a player right now. Like, the Sabres would not give up a player right now for Chris Kreider.
You're just
swapping players out. Then what's the point? If you're a team that's trying to add a Chris Kreider, you're sending futures back. You're sending players back that or picks back that aren't going to be on your team for the next 2 to 3 years.
Well, and that's thankfully what the Sabres have almost in abundance.
Right, exactly.
And I think
the problem therein is that we go back to before. The Rangers don't want that.
No.
The Rangers want a solution for now. They want someone that can go into their lineup right away, but they're not going to get that for Chris Kreider. They're going to get that for prospects. They would get that for a pick or two, but they would not get that for a guy that can also go into the lineup and do the same thing that you're trying to get. If you're the Rangers, you kind of unfortunately just have to wait out the injury, at least on the Kreider aspect of things. I don't know who else they're talking about other than him and Trouba, but those were obviously the big eye-catching names.
Those are the names Elliot Friedman threw out there of like, and I think a lot of that also could just be the media, or not the media, but the Rangers putting that out there to Friedman of, no, let everyone know that essentially, quote unquote, everyone's available.
Right.
But it may actually mean that those two specifically are available, but it's a message to the team of no.
Yeah.
None of you are safe.
But I also think a main issue there with those two, Trouba's 30, Kreider's 33. Kreider is signed for 3 more years at $6.5 million. Trouba's signed for till the end of next season at $8 million.
Yep.
They're trying to clear cap space because they have guys coming up that needs contracts. Ryan Lindgren, a guy that I talked about in that egregious mock trade that a Rangers fan came up with. He's 26. He's a decent defenseman. He needs a contract next year. He probably will get – he's at $4.5 million right now. He'd probably get a little bit more than that in his next deal. You also have guys like – where'd he go? Where did Lafreniere go? Is he hurt right now?
I don't believe so. Maybe he is. Could be. Well, they're not having a good time.
I'm not seeing him on... I'm trying to find Puckpedia where his contract is. Oh, there it is. Oh, no. His contract kicks in. He already has a contract signed. His contract kicks in next offseason at $7.5 million. So they're definitely trying to create cap space. And they also still have to sign that one goalie the Sabres scored 6 goals on. I don't know why they're going to re-sign. Oh, yeah. Igor Shesterkin.
Oh, yeah.
They need to give him a deal, and he wants a lot of money.
Fair.
Which, so, in reality...
I saw last night, too, that's like the Rangers, because we were talking about the 18-19 season, like, the Rangers' underlying numbers are not good. Mm-hmm. It's goaltending.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, to be fair, I mean, even a few years ago, you could argue that Shesterkin was holding them up.
Right.
And when they play, and when he's not playing well, I mean, to be fair, the game when the Sabres beat them, their defense was everywhere.
Yeah.
They were not good. It wasn't like Shesterkin was not making a save. Sabres had wide open lanes all night long.
Yeah. But that, I think, is the main thing. If you're looking at why those two are the focal points, aside from the fact that they would probably get your biggest return, it's because you want to clear cap space. So it actually might diminish your return in some cases for certain teams. For the Sabres, no, it wouldn't, because the Sabres have cap space, no problem.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're the Rangers, though, it's a tough spot to be in, because you're probably not going to win this trade, and you probably think you're going to. And that's
or you're going to be desperate to try to do so. And
it's going
to
delay.
We talked about the 49ers, too. Like, yeah, it's going to just delay it until a move doesn't get made. And you're sitting there. The underlying numbers are not good. They did just lose again last night to St. Louis 5-2. Mm-hmm. It did not look good by any means. What is that, Jim Montgomery's first game?
Yeah.
Head coach St. Louis?
It's funny. His first NHL goal was scored as a Ranger, or as a Blue, against the Rangers.
That's good.
And his first NHL win is as the Blues head coach against the Rangers.
That's good.
So
David tweets in. This is more about the trade talks we're having here with the Sabres. Are we a better team with Ryan McLeod and Bowen Byram rather than Casey Mittelstadt and Matthew Savoy?
Ooh.
I answered immediately, we can have a conversation about Casey Mittelstadt with him in Colorado.
But he hasn't had a great season.
He had a good start. He had a good start.
Yeah.
Well, and Colorado themselves also. Bad defense. Not good goaltending.
They got killed last night. 8-2.
Who's their goalie? I saw like smash his stick on the
Georgiev.
Georgiev?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was not having a good time. But with and to this point, and I'll say this, Savoy is still an AHL guy. So for right now, if they're a better team, absolutely. Savoy would not be on this roster. He's not on Edmonton's.
Right. He's not. Yeah. And
they need help.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, the Sabres are right there with Edmonton in terms of roster capability. But even on this Sabres roster, Savoy's not on it.
No, I don't think so at all. going to again, Casey Mittelstadt's stats, by the way.
It's not
18 points, 7 goals, 11 assists. He, though, is at a minus 12. Again, I think a lot of that is their defense and goaltending has really not helped. Last night, to Josh, to your point, they lost 8-2 to Tampa.
Yeah.
Hagel, by the way, 5 assists.
Brandon Hagel.
And he had that by like the second period.
What? He could have been. Matthew Savoy so far in the AHL this year, 10 points in 16 games.
No. Yeah, I mean, you would kind of hope for more from a guy that was, what, a first-round pick back in 21, 22? You'd hope for
22,
a little bit.
22.
But you'd still hope for a little bit more. He should be dominating the AHL, and he hasn't been that guy. I mean, we brought this up. The moment they drafted Zach Benson, he was a younger guy putting up more points on the same team.
Yeah. Yep.
You
go back to that trade. And you go back to you can look at the Bowen Byram Casey Mittelstadt trade as well, and that's when the Sabres started to just make hard decisions. Now I'm not saying the Savoy one was that hard, but the Mittelstadt one I feel like it was.
It was we're either paying him, we're trading him, we're going to get something out of this.
Yeah, and I think it was the right decision at this point.
Ultimately, Bowen Byram's third in the NHL in terms of defensemen and even strength points,
and he's been getting better too in terms of his defensive numbers as well. Because it's not all offense when you're a defenseman, but at the same time, it certainly helps.
Yeah,
but. Looking at what that trade has done so far for the Sabres, I think it's kind of pushed Kevin Adams to get uncomfortable when he makes a trade. Because that's something right out of the gate he had to do as a GM, but it was kind of...
It was forced upon him.
Forced upon him. It wasn't like he wanted to do that. He had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't really a good litmus test for him to say, hey, this is how he's going to be trading people. This is how his trades are going to work out. Because he was trading a generational player. That was very disgruntled with the franchise.
And that's always uncomfortable.
Right, exactly. So you look at what he's done in recent trades with Byram and Mittelstadt and Savoy and McLeod, and they've both, so far, have worked out for the Sabres, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously we haven't had much in terms of other actual trades because everything else has been very, whatever, picks and guys in the AHL. So...
But I mentioned it with the Ryan McLeod trade and how it's worked out. I hope maybe this now pushes him to have that feeling of confidence of I can keep making these moves.
And it sounds like he has because every report so far this season has been that the Sabres are one of the most active teams in the trade market.
Basically, since the start of the season is, oh, by the way, the Sabres do want to make a move. And it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
David, thanks for the tweet. That is us getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. I'm going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Tuesday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Tonight, a big UB night. The football program taking on Kent State at home, their final regular season game tonight. Looking to go 8-4 after having just 3 wins last year. They're taking on the winless Kent State. Golden Flashers, 7 p.m. start, 6 p.m. pregame. It's going to be over on the Bet 1520. And then the UB women, they're undefeated taking on Niagara. They are on the road to do that. 5:30 pregame, 6 p.m. start. That's going to be on our other sister station, AM 1400. And I do want to make one other correction from the UB men's team. Ben Michaels, I mentioned him, freshman, averaging 10 points per game so far to start his collegiate career. Not from Canada. The United Kingdom. He was born in Ipswich, England. Did play, though, some of his high school basketball in Long Island as he made the jump over to the United States. Very excited for them, though. I do hope both programs continue their progression. I am actually going to go see UB at St. Bonaventure on December 7th. It's Saturday.
Oh, yeah, because that's the same day as the SEC championship.
It's the same day as all the conference championships. Nice. I'm going to be keeping up on my phone and watching. Speaking of undefeated teams, though, Bonaventure also undefeated. They are 6-0 as well. They are not back in action, though. Let me make sure, because I believe it is Black Friday. They are in action again. And that is going to be against – excuse me. They are actually in action on Thanksgiving, 5:30, going to be over on ESPN2. The 6-0 St. Bonaventure Bonnies taking on the also undefeated 5-0 Utah State.
Talking like this makes me want to start the petition now for NCAA basketball to
already
come
been
back
there. I've been there for years. Game. I've been there for years.
Well, because
the 365 teams.
Yeah.
And the NCAA tournament and all that action, I'm in. I'm in.
The football game's been great. Why not bring back basketball?
Football game's been great. I mean, we've talked about it a lot off air and on air. It's kind of gotten me more into college football.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm a Texas fan, but like it also partially got me to go to a UB football game this year.
It's gotten me a lot into college basketball or college football because I never was really into it, but now I'm very into.
But after doing a full rebuild with UB, it was like, oh, well, yeah, I'm going to go to a game this year. It's nice. Right. Like I've been in the stadium for days. Like, I'm ready to go. And so like that was a big part of it. And so yeah, like it's gotten me back into college football like I was before, keeping up with teams like me and you have talked about it, Wyoming.
Yeah,
where we're both sitting there frustrated as hell because they're 2-9, and you're like,
I know what this team needs.
Yeah, I know what this team needs. It's me. It's a lot of fun. That's going to do it for Josh Schmidt and myself. Tomorrow we'll have both Paul Hamilton and the return of Sal Capaccio as we hope to get more on the Buffalo Bills taking on the San Francisco 49ers Sunday night football. But coming up next after a quick timeout, more on the Sabres as Sabres Live is on the way. This is WGR.